Welcome. We joyfully greet our members, their loved ones, and all visitors on this Christmas Eve. We remember together with awe and gratitude how God shone his light into our darkness on that first Christmas. We pray that we may be bearers of his light unto all who languish in the darkness of poverty, illness, and fear. May we share with them the light that shines from the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to have you here tonight, to see you all. It's the beginning of my Christmas present to worship with you this evening. As a child, it seems like Christmas will never get here, but as an adult, it seems like we could always use one more week, but it comes, whether you are ready or not. So let us take the time to put aside our list and our concerns, and let us be together in prayer and in worship. It's also a joy as I gather on Christmas Eve to look out and see all the children, to worship with them all, and to remember how strange it is to be on this side, because I remember when I was their age, how desperately I wanted the minister to pray fast, how desperately I wanted the sermon to be over so we can go home and enjoy the fun. But tonight, let us cherish this moment we've waited for all year that will go by too quick. Tonight, let us celebrate Christmas in the spirit of Jesus Christ, who came to us from the heart of God's own being. Taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, let us celebrate God's entering our lives in human form to bring light to all the world. And may love be reborn in our hearts this night. Come, let us worship our God. Let us stand and sing our opening hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful, number 148 in the Chalice Hymnal.
Thank you.
Please remain standing and join me in our call to worship. The responsive reading as it's printed in our bulletin. Our souls magnify the Lord. Almighty God has done great things for us.
And from generation to generation, God will give mercy.
Let us pray. Incarnate One, Light of the World, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, draw close to us as we pray. As we gather in this evening in the darkness of this night, fill us, Lord, with your light, the light of the world. They came into the world and the darkness could not overcome it. Lord, as we sing your message of peace and sing of goodwill to all, with choirs of angels, may it be so in our world and in our life. Open our eyes this evening, this very moment, to love born anew. Open our hearts, God, to wonder at your love, that we may reflect your glory and share your good news. Jesus Christ is born today. Alleluia. Let us pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Come now to the pinnacle of the Advent season. We turn to our Advent wreath, to the lighting of the Christ candle. Again, I draw your attention to the insert of our bulletin as we read. The holiday is finally here. Are you ready? The star shines bright to lead the way. Will you seek him out? Are you willing to see the hope of the world in the smile of a baby? Are you ready to travel with the shepherds simply because you have seen the star? Then come and call him Wondrous Counselor, Mighty King, Prince of Peace. Let us pray together. God presented Jesus to us in the manger. We were in darkness and have seen a great light. You set us free if only we can imagine it. You send us great joy if only we can embrace it. No matter where we are in our lives, you are present. No matter what name we call you, we kneel humbly before your cradle to welcome baby Jesus once more. Amen. Tonight we light the Christ candle. Christ is the center of our lives and the most amazing gift we can receive. May you celebrate the joy of birth as if you were there to greet the Savior yourself. Raise your voice in songs of praise and joy. And may the glow of these candles warm your hearts and cover you with blessings. Let us pray. Gracious God, we light this candle in honor of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to be the light of the world. May his light shine within our hearts, not just on Christmas Eve and Christmas morn, but indeed all day, every day, until he comes again, and we may see the light up close. Amen. And now join me in singing our Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, number 150. Thank you. Our first reading tonight comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. That's found on page 1 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible, in which the birth of God's anointed Savior, long-awaited Messiah, is described. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public shame, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. And now we come to our Christmas offering. Let us give cheerfully, for not only are we blessed when we receive, but we are fulfilled when we give. Our offertory hymn this evening is "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." I knew it was there somewhere. Number 150.
Thank you. blessing. You come to us in the gift of a child, and you offer us good news of great joy. We have heard the word, we have felt the joy. As we bring our gifts to you now, we join with our all creation in joyous wonder. Amen.
Please be seated. Our second scripture lesson tonight comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. That's on page 58 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. In which the birth of Christ is described. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went. From the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our anthem this evening, sung by the Sanctuary Choir, is Child of Love. final lesson this evening continues the story in the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 2, also again on page 58, where we hear about the first witnesses to this amazing event. Luke writes, "In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for you see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." May the Lord give us, bless us with hearing and understanding on the reading of God's word this evening. Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed. That's how it all began. Great God on high, maker of heaven and earth and everything in it, took the form of human flesh. And not just any flesh, a helpless, weak, tiny child. Our Heavenly Father became a baby who could not speak and could not walk, could not even feed himself. The one upon whom we all depend became completely dependent on two people, who themselves were dependent upon the kindness, the hospitality, the generosity of others. And what did it get them? It got them alone, sleeping in a manger, surrounded by animals, laying in hay. We have a tendency to sentimentalize Christmas, to make it perfect and sweet, to fix it in our head the way that we want it to be, to keep in our mind a picture, postcard image of what Christmas should be. And this picture is influenced by Norman Rockwell paintings and Christmas TV specials, Christmas commercials, Clement Moore's famous poem, and memories of our own Christmases of the past. The ideal is nice. The ideal is sweet. The ideal is perfect. It is ideal. But so little in this world turns out exactly as we hope or would like. Sometimes the food is burned. Sometimes the lights burn out. Sometimes the Christmas bonus doesn't come through, or the relative doesn't make it home in time. Sometimes we have to threaten to cancel Christmas so the children don't behave, and it's only 7:30 in the morning, Christmas Eve. That's why it is important to remember how it all began. Because if your Christmas does not involve being hundreds of miles away from your home, sleeping in hay next to a cow, delivering a child with no help from a doctor or a nurse, then your Christmas is going a lot better than the Christmas of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, the first Christmas that they had together. There's a lot that amazes about the first Christmas. But what should impress us most is how much God humbled himself on our behalf. Would it not have been enough for God to come down and talk to us? To open the clouds and speak to us? To part the waters and write out some more instructions? Would it not have been enough for God to become a king, a mighty soldier, an impressive, gigantic figure? At least an adult. But God humbled himself completely to show us the depths of his love for us. What would you do for those whom you love? How far are you willing to go to help them? If you knew that by becoming a baby, you could change your children's life, would you do it? And what if after doing all that, you knew that they still might not get it or even care? That is the prospect that God faced, and still he chose to come down here. Now, when I hear my children fighting and making a mess in the basement where they're supposed to be playing nicely together, I yell at them, "Don't make me come down there." And sometimes that actually works. Sometimes. Because they know if I come down there, they will be in trouble. And I will make them be nice to each other. And I will make them clean things up. And I will make them stop what they're doing. But God in heaven heard his children crying, fighting, and making a mess of the whole world. So he came down to the world. Not to condemn it, but to save it. Not to punish it, but to redeem it. Not to destroy it, but to deliver it. And all this happened once in Royal David's city. Came down to be with us. Angry, violent, hateful as we could be, he came down to be with us. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And for a while he was. But not just merely near us, not just by us or beside us, not in the vicinity of us, but truly and completely and fully with us. He ate with us. He drank with us. He spoke with us. He taught the disciples. He entered people's homes. He spent time with the sick and the despised, often preferring their company to that of the more respectable people. He never turned anyone away. Gentiles who were supposed to be outside of God's promise, he welcomed. Samaritans who were believed to have blasphemed God by the way they worshipped, he used them as an example of righteous living. Women who had been remarried, he welcomed into the kingdom. And those who were deemed beyond God's grace, he loved and forgave and called friends. And he had all the power in the world. And yet he walked with the people, rode into the city on a donkey, lived with the people, loved the people as if they were his own children. And when people brought their own children to him, he said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to ones such as these." He said this because he himself had been a child. He said this because he remembered what had happened once in Royal David's City. He feels our sadness. He shares our gladness. He shares in our lives. He rejoices when we rejoice. He mourns with those who mourn. To help us know that He understands us. And this is so important for us to understand. It is important because we could not understand what God wanted us to understand unless He came down here. One time in my own youth, I was working on the farm, and I came across a cat, a wild cat. We had many on the farm. And this one had gotten caught in the fence, the barbed wire fence. It tore the side. He was in great pain. He couldn't get out. And I wanted very much to free him, but every time I tried to, he tried to bite me, and a couple times he succeeded. How I wish I could explain to that cat that I was trying to help, what I was trying to do, what was going to happen if he let me help. And I imagine that if I could have, I would have become a cat to explain it to him. That is what God did. As God Himself tried every other way to communicate and explain to us how we should live, the law and the prophets all led to the blessed moment when God would become a child who grew into a man who understood us so that we could understand God. Now, all the things we were to understand, the most important is that God wants us to understand that God understands us. He experienced what we experience. He went through what we go through. He was tempted by what tempts us, angered by what angers us. He cried when his friend Lazarus died, just as we do when we lose the ones that we love. He hungered and he thirsted. He knew pain the likes of which most of us can only imagine. And in the end, like us, he died. Jesus' teachings, they are rather clear, most of them. They are generally easy to understand. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Forgive not 7 times, but 7 times 70 times. Easy to understand, incredibly difficult to live. So we must first know that He says these things to us as one who knows, as one who understands. Secondly, we know that just like Him, we must grow in our faith. We hear His teachings. We learn them. We spend the rest of our life trying to figure out how to live them. We do not wait until we are mature and fully successful at following His teachings before we follow Him. Instead, we begin as children in the faith. No matter our age, we follow and we go at our own pace and we learn as we grow. And so we know that God was with us. We know that God understands what we go through in life. But if He came to us to be with us, to sympathize with us, and then left us, all long before any of us were born, then it simply would not be the greatest story ever told. Instead, He tells His disciples and us that He has gone ahead to prepare a place for us. He says, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. You see, all the things that happened once in Royal David's City happened once, but not just once. For He will come again to comfort us, to heal us, to save us, to take us to where He is, to where God is. And that is why He came, not to be with us and leave us, not to be with us and then go away, but to be with us and show us the way to God, so that our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And what happened once did not just happen once and then end. Instead, it happened once and continues to happen. Whenever we love each other as he loved us, whenever we love God with all of our heart and soul, our mind and strength, whenever we are reconciled to our brother and sister, Jesus Christ is born in us today, just as he was once in Royal David's city. Now the one who had no place in the inn, no place to lay his head, he has prepared a place for us in heaven, but he has also prepared a table for us here today. Let all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, come forward, not come forward, but receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. The emblems will be passed. Please partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 155, Angels We Have Heard on High. Thank you. was growing up, there were many things I wanted on Christmas, and some of them I got, and some of them I didn't. But I did not know at the time that the greatest gift I would ever have, I already had, the gift of my own brother. And I tell my children this all the time, that they will come to see that they are the greatest thing they ever have gotten, and they don't believe me. One day they shall. But there were times when I opened presents with him that he got more presents than me. Sometimes his presents were better than mine, and those were hard Christmases. We got through it okay. But now, I would give anything to open presents with him, because it has been 20 years since I've been able to share a Christmas with him. And now this year, my wife is going through the same thing. This is her first Christmas without her sister, and now also without her two nieces. And it is difficult. Because the greatest present we can ever receive is presence. The presence of those whom we love and those who touch our lives. The disciples learned that lesson, ironically, not at Christmas time, but at Passover, when they gathered with Jesus to celebrate the Passover meal for the Last Supper. But of course, they didn't know it was called that at the time. They had no idea that within hours, both Jesus and Judas would be dead, and they would not be together again in that way. And when it was all done, and Jesus came back to life, was resurrected, and they were reunited with him, all the things that they had wanted before, a new world, a new kingdom, power and might and justice, those things were all forgotten. They were simply thrilled to have Jesus with them, to celebrate the present of his presence. And that's what we celebrate too. When we gather at Christmas time, whatever else we get, whatever else we receive, the presence of those whom we love is the greatest gift of all. The presence of God, or the presence of God in the presence of Christ, we celebrate. And if where we gather there is an empty chair this year, we rejoice in the promise that Christ has given us, that our separation from our loved ones is but fleeting. We will be with them together eternally through him. As we share in this meal this morning, this evening, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ given to us, we give thanks that the presence of God in the manger is the first Christmas gift, and we rejoice that our presence in heaven with God his final and enduring gift of all. And now let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come tonight to sing your praises. We come tonight to sing the hallelujahs and to rejoice that you are among us. And we come tonight knowing that feeling that we have when we come here is you in our heart. It is the Christmas Eve service that we remember and that we feel your presence more and more. It is that warmth in your heart and in our heart that take us out into the world and sing to all that we are God's children and we believe and we have faith, because we know that through this night brings tomorrow, and with tomorrow there is a newborn son who is yours, who has guided, who has loved us, and who has shown us the way.
Amen. For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me. Then on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. After he blessed it, he broke it, gave thanks, and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." come to the service of candlelighting, a part that we look forward to all year. And as our, part of our new tradition, as we sing Silent Night, Holy Night, we'll sing all four verses. And then at the end, we'll go back and sing the first verse again. For on this night, more than any other, the candle becomes more than a form of light. It is a symbol of overwhelming joy, even in the midst of despair. It is a beacon of hope for brighter and lighter days ahead. It is the power of God, the light of Christ, and the warmth of the Holy Spirit. Just as all these things proceeded from the birth of Christ, now they proceed from the light of the Christ candle.
Thank you.
this place, share it with others that they may light the world as well. As you leave this place, know that God is with you.